This is session number 38 of the Gospel according to John. Today we come to John chapter 5 and verse number 10. The last two sessions, we were looking at Jesus Christ healing the impotent man by the pool of Bethesda. We saw that this man had pretty much gotten to a point where he had no hope left, and he certainly had no help. And it was right at this time when Jesus Christ showed up. We saw this was a unique miracle because many miracles of Jesus Christ in the Gospels were tied to the people's faith. In fact, we saw in one instance where it says where Jesus couldn't do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Only he saved a few sick folk. However, this miracle is proof that the power of Christ, the word of Christ, the authority of Christ, is not limited by our faith or lack of faith. Heaven and earth shall pass away, Jesus said, but his words shall not pass. Paul said it like this, shall their unbelief make the faith of God of none effect? God forbid. God's work and God's will be done, whether or not we believe. However, our belief is what determines whether or not we become part of that work, whether we become part of his children and his kingdom. That's where our belief comes in. But here, this man had no faith at all to be healed, lost all faith, lost all hope. But this miracle was not an issue of faith, it was an issue of the will. Jesus said, wilt thou be made whole? And deep down, this man still had a desire to be whole. And because of that, Jesus does not just try our hearts for faith, he also tries the reins of the heart. And the reins are associated with the will. The reins are what we desire, which way we're pulling ourselves and pulling our hearts. And we saw Jesus Christ in verse 8, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And verse 9, and immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. So exactly what Jesus said is exactly what happened. The power of Christ's word. Hallelujah. But then we saw at the end of verse 9, and on the same day was the Sabbath. And this is what is about to create some serious controversy. And this controversy is going to be more than just controversy, but it's also going to expose the murderous, devilish spirit that abides in many of the Jews and chief priests. Verse 10, we're going to read, we're going to go through. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, it is the Sabbath day, it is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, what man is that which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. That's verses 10 through 13. So first what we see is the Jews are on the patrol, as usual. And this guy, they see him walking with his bed. And so immediately, they're here to enforce the law. The Jews. The crooked Jews who are doing evil behind closed doors, who are extorting money and taking advantage of people. These people, they want to enforce the law. There's a reason why Jesus Christ said back in Matthew 7, judge not that ye be not judged, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. See, these Jews were living in some pretty wicked sin privately. But publicly, they want to judge everybody and enforce the law. Just watch out for people that are so zealous to enforce the law. And when I say enforce the law, I'm talking about the little tiny specks of the law. Little specks. He says, why are you trying to pull a little tiny mote? It's like a little tiny speck out of your brother's eye. When you have a big beam in your own eye. You know, Jesus upbraided these Pharisees later in his ministry. This was towards the end. Matthew chapter 23. And one of the things he upbraided them for was in verse 23. He says, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought you to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they're full of extortion and excess. And he goes on and on to upbraid them. But the point is, you are tithing all of your mint and your anise and your cumin. You're making sure that you give a tithe of every little tiny thing. You're very exact in the little matters. But you have omitted, you've completely ignored, you've completely cut out the weightier matters of the law. The real things that matter, like judgment, mercy, faith. And in the Luke's account, he says, and the love of God. Judgment, mercy, faith, and the love of God. You have nothing to do with those. Oh, but you make sure all those little things are tended to. So here they come on the patrol. Yea, it's not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. It's a Sabbath day. Now, it's interesting how this man was a man that had been living in Jerusalem by the sheep market near that pool of Bethesda for 38 years, living there as an impotent man, lame, unable to walk, completely helpless. And here he's walking with his bed on the Sabbath day. And they just, it's the Sabbath day, you can't carry your bed. You know, they probably don't even know who this guy is. Now, that's sad, because when God makes men strong and able, when he puts them in positions of leadership, what God would like them to do, if they're going to be shepherds of his people, is he wants them to visit his flock, to feed the flock, to care about those who are diseased and those who are sick, and to visit them and help them and nurture them. See, if these guys were doing the jobs they were supposed to be doing, not just running around patrolling little gnats, little problems, but if they were actually doing what they're supposed to be doing, which is spending time with real people in real need, trying to teach them the ways of the Lord, praying for God to move and maybe heal them, to give them grace. If they were actually doing that, they'd probably have known who this guy was. And when they saw him, whoa, what happened to you? You're walking. How'd you get healed? See, that would be the natural response if they actually knew this guy and cared about this guy. But I don't think they even knew who he was or cared about him. They just see a guy who's breaking their quote-unquote law. Now, he's not really breaking the law, but he's breaking the law as they think it is. In Ezekiel 34, the word of the Lord came to Ezekiel saying, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Ye eat the fat, and you clothe you with the wool. Ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. The diseased have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken. Neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, neither have ye sought that which was lost. But with force and with cruelty have ye ruled them, and they were scattered, because there is no shepherd. And they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. And he goes on and on, and eventually he says that I'm going to have to be the good shepherd, and I'm going to come, and I'm going to find my sheep. But here's this guy who's been lying at this pool for 38 years, lame, impotent, stuck there. And evidently these Jews, these Pharisees, never came to spend time with these people, never came to spend time and get to know their story, to teach them the ways of the Lord, teach them to hope in God, to pray for them, to pray that God might heal them. Look at this, is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is the God who can do anything. Parted the Red Sea. He can clearly heal these people. No, they just kind of leave them to themselves, leave them to the beasts of the field. Beasts of the field spiritually would be devils. And so here, this is a place where devils and demonic dark powers and a certain angel comes down once a season and troubles the water, and everybody's trying to jump in and they're waiting for this troubled water to be their hope. I don't think that's really how the Lord wanted it. And so when they see him, they don't even know him. There's no rejoicing. There's no excitement. He's just some guy who's just annoying them because he's doing what they think he shouldn't be doing. His response in verse 11, he answered them, he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. Now listen, there's two main statements there. He that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. They completely ignore the fact that he was made whole. They don't even care about this guy. They could care less about the condition he had been in for the last 38 years and the misery he had been in. That doesn't mean anything to them. They don't care about people. They just care about enforcing their quote-unquote laws. So they ignore the fact that he was made whole. In verse 12, then asked they him, what man is that which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk? They don't say, wait, what do you mean made whole? What happened to you? And then he could tell the story. They're not interested in his story. They're interested in enforcing outward subjection on other people. Outward obedience on other people. Now, here's the thing. It's one of the things you're going to find out. If somebody lives their life only worrying about outward appearance, and that's what these Jews and Pharisees were. That's what Jesus said. You make clean the outward. If that's all they worry about is outward appearance in their own life, but they don't really care about the heart, then you better believe that's exactly what they're going to do with other people. All they're going to care about is the outward appearance of what other people are doing. They don't care about the heart. They're not interested in this guy's heart. They're not interested in his life. They're not interested in what he's been through and what he's doing. All they care about is outwardly complying, because that's all they do. But see, that's so opposite to the ways of the Lord. That's so opposite to the ways of Christ. In Colossians 3, it says in verse 22, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers. That means not just when they're looking, not just outwardly to please men. See, what was the problem with these Pharisees, these Jews? They loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Everything was outward eye service. No, in Christ, God commands servants to obey their masters in singleness of heart, fearing God. Verse 23, and whatsoever you do, Do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Everything's supposed to be of the heart. It's supposed to be pure from the heart all the way out through the actions. But these guys, they don't care about the heart. Not like, whoa, what do you mean you were made whole? They completely ignore that statement. Just say, who is it which said to thee, take up thy bed and walk? What man is that? We have to find out who this guy is. Who's this guy think he is? Some alternate authority? Where does he get his authority to tell you to break the Sabbath? Again, they're all about outward authority. Just pay attention for these kind of guys as you're out and about in your business. Pay attention for these kind of guys in churches and religions and even politics and government. Now listen, I'm not saying that we should be lawless in Christ. I'm not saying that anything goes. But people who are so strict on little tiny things, but you can just feel such a coldness from them. There's no heart. There's no compassion. There's no mercy. There's no faith. Yeah, you're dealing with people like these Jews. Now, verse 13, and he that was healed wist not who it was. Wist, that's an old English word. Just means he didn't know. It has to do with the wit. It has to do with factual knowledge, not necessarily personal, intimate knowledge. In the King James Bible, when you see the word know and knew, it's usually more of a personal, intimate, deep knowledge. It's not just a fact. In the Bible, the word knowledge is not just facts. It's really like having it within you. Whereas in the Bible, the word wit and wist, this has to do with knowing, but this is more just like the information. He that was healed wist not who it was. He didn't know who Jesus was. Again, this guy didn't know Jesus. He didn't have any faith. He didn't have any hope. Jesus just showed up, saw that he had a desire to be healed. Jesus healed him, and Jesus walked away. It says, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. So Jesus had kind of snuck away with the multitude, just kind of blended into the crowd. And this is common. The Lord did this many times in his ministry. But then verse 14 says, afterward Jesus findeth him in the temple. So this is later. So the Jews first confront the man. Now afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. It's just interesting to see the message of Jesus Christ, the true Jesus. So Jesus found this man in the first place, and he healed his body. Nothing else. The man was not saved. The man did not come to faith. The man didn't even know who Jesus was. He just healed his body. By the way, there's plenty of people who have been healed by Jesus Christ, have experienced a miracle of Jesus Christ, who will still end up in hell. Being healed, receiving a miracle, does not equal salvation. It's very important. This guy doesn't even know who Jesus is. But Jesus in his goodness, afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple. So another thing that's important to understand, the work of Christ doesn't have to always happen all at one moment, at one place, at one time in history. Jesus can work in small little bits here, small little bits there, small little bits today, small little bits tomorrow, small little bits next season. It's not always as simple as, hey, on this day, at this hour, this is whenever. No. Can work little bits. So first he heals this man. Real miracle. Really experienced the power of Christ. Didn't even know who Jesus was. Now, afterward, Jesus finds him in the temple. Now notice the next message, the word Christ wants to bring to him. Behold. Okay, that means look at what I'm about to tell you. Focus on what I'm about to tell you. Behold, thou art made whole. Focus on the work I just did on you. Be thankful for it. Appreciate it. Dwell on that. Remember what it used to be like for 38 years, and now you focus on what I just did. Behold, thou art made whole. Done deal. You're made whole. However, it's not a period. Christ has something else to say. He says, sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. One of the things you're going to see about Jesus Christ's doctrine, his doctrine is a doctrine of sinning no more. Jesus Christ does not give place, room, excuses for sin. Many times you see Jesus Christ, after he heals someone, after he does something special for someone, intervening for them, you see him saying, sin no more. Go and sin no more. Thy faith hath saved thee, go and sin no more. Now, he doesn't say that here. That was with a different woman, because she actually was saved by faith at that point. She really believed in Christ. This guy has not believed in Christ. He was just made whole. His body was made whole. And that's a blessing. Amen? That's a blessing. But that's not enough. It's not enough to just get healed. It's not enough just to have a miracle. He says, you better sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. Okay, so this implies that his impotency, what he had experienced for 38 years, was a result of sin. And I would assume personal sin in his life. Now, when we see somebody with a disability or somebody with some kind of ailment, we cannot always assume that it is a result of personal sin. We'll see, because later in John chapter 9, there's going to be a guy born blind, and this had nothing to do with sin. So not everything is a direct result of personal sin. However, you also can't say that somebody's issue or somebody's problem is not a result of their personal sin, because sometimes it is. This guy, obviously some kind of personal sin that he had given himself over to, completely debilitated him, brought him to a point of impotency and lameness to where he couldn't do anything. He's completely helpless. Sin can do that to you. Sin is a cruel master. You can read a little bit about sin's mastery in Romans chapter 6. And he says, you better go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. Now, what he's talking about is similar to what he talked about in Luke chapter 11. In Luke chapter 11, Jesus Christ talks about when an unclean spirit is cast out. Verse 24, when the unclean spirit has gone out of a man. Okay, so if a man receives deliverance, a devil is cast out of him, an unclean spirit. Who knows, maybe there was a spirit that was holding this man in infirmity, and he loosed him from that power. When Jesus Christ's word came and said, rise, take up thy bed and walk, gave him power and authority back. But when the unclean spirit's gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. So he saith, I'll return unto my house whence I came out. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. He's talking about when an unclean spirit gets cast out of a person, he'll walk around for a little while, and if he can't find anywhere to go, the unclean spirit's going to come back and revisit that man. And if all he finds is the house clean, swept, garnished, but nobody's living in the house, there's nobody new who's occupied the house, then what's he going to do? Verse 26, then goeth he and taketh to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. By the way, not all unclean spirits, not all evil spirits are of the same wickedness level. There are some more fierce and more wicked than others. You can get that understanding from reading through the Gospels. And so then it says, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. See, getting a healing, getting devils cast out, that's all fine and dandy, but unless you come to faith in the Son of God, unless faith moves into your heart, the Spirit of God moves into your life, unless that happens, you're actually open to things becoming worse than they were before you ever met Jesus. Okay, Peter talks about a similar thing in 2 Peter chapter 2. And in 2 Peter chapter 2, talks about people who if after, this is verse 20, if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So again, They have a meeting with Christ. They know Christ. Again, this doesn't mean that they're born again. It just means that they have a knowledge of him. They are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, than after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. It would have been better for them to have never known the way of righteousness. See? So this man's experienced Christ, experienced a miracle from Christ, but Jesus says, you better go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. And this is a reality that we have to understand. This is a real spiritual reality. That meeting Christ has the potential to save you, cleanse you, change you, make you new, fill you with his spirit, and bring you all the way into the kingdom of God. But meeting Jesus Christ could also be the worst thing that could ever happen to you. Because things might get better for a little while, but then when you turn, when you depart, when you don't abide in him, the last state can be worse than the first. And such, I believe, is what happened to this man. Because in verse 15, it says, the man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. So this man doesn't continue in the word of Christ. This man doesn't continue to hear the Lord and come to faith in him. But instead, the man runs out and turns Jesus into the Jews. He runs out and tells on Jesus. And verse 16 it says, and therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. So it's actually this man who had no faith and no hope, who received a blessed miracle. Somebody finally came along who cared about him and didn't put him in some pool, but actually gave him the power to rise, take up his bed and walk. But that later that man tells him, you better go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. And he got a little bit offended about that. Instead of focusing on the blessing that Christ just brought, beholding that he was made whole, instead of being thankful for that miracle, I think he got offended. Who does this man think he is? Who does this Jesus think he is to tell me to go sin no more? Which he's trying to say it was my fault that I was impotent. And that little snotty spirit, the same spirit that Cain had, came, took this man over, and guess what? He goes and turns Jesus into the Jews. And because of him turning Jesus into the Jews, now the Jews want to kill Jesus. Why? Because he made him whole on the Sabbath day. What a horrible crime to commit, to heal somebody who was stuck in misery and helplessness for 38 years. What an awful crime. Yeah, you should really kill somebody like that. That's somebody you don't want walking your streets. Somebody who has the power to actually help people who are helpless. Somebody who actually has the compassion and time to go out of his way to help people that are helpless, even to help people that are going to end up turning on him and going back into their sin. Still, he helps them too. Yeah, that's somebody, according to the Jews, that's a threat. That's somebody that needs to be killed. It's amazing how too much power, when you're not ready for it, can really twist and mess up your heart. It's amazing how man's traditions and man's version of religion can really mess up your heart and thinking. This is session number 37 of the Gospel according to John. Amen.